Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Forever.
Amen.
The Lord
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he confronted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Atone for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?"
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no evil for evil. They give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joseph's brothers lied to him out of fearful desperation and unbelief. They think that now that their father is dead, Joseph will finally exact his revenge upon them for selling him into slavery and leaving him for dead, as if the mercy, love, and hospitality Joseph has been showing them and their families all along has all been a charade. It's too good to be true. Now that Dad is dead, surely Joseph will seek to get even with us, they think. So they lie. They make up a story about how their father commanded Joseph to forgive them before he died. And this makes Joseph weep. It breaks his heart. He loves his brothers. He has forgiven them long ago. He's gone out of his way to make that clear. He has taken them in and lavished them with his love. He has rescued them and their families from the famine, given them a place to live, made sure they had plenty to eat, given shelter over their heads. What more could he have done for them to prove his love? Nevertheless, Joseph knows what his brothers need. They need assurance. So he gives it to them. He speaks his word of absolution to them, telling them that what they meant for evil, God meant for good. He tells them that he will provide for them and their little ones. He does not call them out for their lie, but offers them assurance that he will be merciful to them. Do not fear, he says, for he has forgiven them. More than that, he has forgotten their sins against him. In this way, Joseph exemplifies for us what our Lord Jesus teaches us today in the gospel lesson. He is merciful to his brothers, even as his heavenly Father had been merciful to him. He does not judge and condemn them, but forgives them. He does not expect retribution from them for their sins against him, but freely gives of what he has been given to take care of them and their families. Joseph blessed those who persecuted him, as St. Paul instructs Christians to do. He did not repay evil for evil, but overcame evil with good. Thus, Joseph is a good example for us to emulate. Unfortunately, though, we all too often emulate his brothers instead. They were afraid of what Joseph might do to them because they knew themselves all too well. They knew that if the shoe were on the other foot, they'd want revenge. How often that has sadly been true of us. Someone wrongs us and we hold grudges like nobody's business. Someone cuts us off on the highway and the thoughts and words that issue forth from us would not only make our mothers blush, but would probably merit a good whipping or some soap in the mouth. We get in a squabble with a family member or friend and don't speak to them for decades, even though we can't even remember what the stupid squabble was all about. But what really reveals our wretchedness, dear friends, is that we don't hold ourselves to the same standards when it comes to our relationship with God as we do with those who wrong us in this life somehow. I mean, what if God treated us when we sin against him like we treat others who wrong us somehow? What if he held grudges against us and wouldn't speak to us anymore? What if his mercy was dependent upon the mercy we show to others? What if his forgiveness was dependent upon how quick we are to forgive others? What if his blessings were dependent upon how much we put into the offering plate? Repent. The truth is that we have not been merciful. The truth is that we have judged and condemned as if we were somehow better than others. The truth is that we have played the Pharisee. We've looked at others and said, "Thank God, Lord, I'm not like them." But you are. The truth is that we have been unwilling to forgive and love as we ought. And for all that, we deserve to have burning coals heaped on our heads for eternity. That's the truth. Whether we want to admit it or not, that's the truth. And there is no escaping it of our own accord. We cannot barter our way out of the mess we've created. We cannot make up a convenient lie to get God to shower his mercy upon us. We may be able to pull the wool over the eyes of others, but God cannot be mocked. He knows our very hearts. Repent. This is the reason we should be here in our Lord's holy house this morning, to hear the truth about ourselves and to fess up that we have not lived as we ought, not to play the hypocrite and barter with God as though our mere presence here fulfills some kind of obligation and merits his favor toward us. No. We should be here this morning and week in and week out, because we know that we are sinners in desperate need of God's mercy. We should be here this morning and week in and week out because we know how utterly selfish we are and have cared more about getting our own way and keeping our own stuff and maintaining our own facade than caring for and helping and showing mercy to others. We should be here this morning and week in and week out to fall down before our Lord, crying out, "Lord, have mercy upon us, sinners." And the good news, the remarkable, wonderful good news, is that our Lord always hears our cry for mercy. He is not like us, thanks be to God. He is not self-serving. He is not a hypocrite. He eagerly desires to bless those who persecute him, to be merciful to sinners in need. It's why he came. Not to judge and to condemn, but to forgive and save by taking our place and fulfilling every last iota of the perfect law we can't fulfill, culminated with his sin-atoning sacrificial death on the cross. He is the greater Joseph, for he was betrayed by his brothers, all sinful mankind, including you and me, and handed over to his enemies to be shamefully treated, spit upon, mocked, beaten, and crucified, and left to rot in the pit of the tomb. But what we meant for evil, God meant for good. The greatest good imaginable, our eternal salvation. For Jesus rose from the tomb to live forever and ascended to the right hand of the Father to rule over all things. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And here is the amazing thing. The thing that really does seem too good to be true, no matter how many times you hear it. The thing that, while seeming too good to be true, is the absolute truth that holds this universe together. That thing is, Jesus is not angry. He's not looking to get even. He does not wish to settle the score with us for what we did to him. Instead, he says to all who are penitent and turn to him for mercy, "Do not fear. I forgive you all your sins. I will provide for you and your little ones. I have prepared a place of refuge for you in my holy church, a heavenly sanctuary for you there on earth, that you might find safety and be well fed during your pilgrimage through the wilderness of this sinful world. And I have an eternal home ready for you, where there will be no more pain and suffering, no more tears and mourning, no more sin and its consequences, but only perfect bliss, peace, comfort, and joy. Come to me, O sinner, and abide in the shadow of my cross, into which you have been baptized and by which you are fed upon my body and blood in the Holy Supper, that you may have life and have it to the full. In this remarkable, wonderful good news, almost too good to be true, of what our Savior has done and continues to do for us, empowers us and frees us to live as his disciples in this wayward world, striving to be merciful as we have been shown mercy, refraining from judging and condemning other sinners, which does not mean that we don't call sin a sin, as many people believe today, but that we recognize the log that is in our own eye before attempting to remove the speck that is in the eyes of others. That is, that we don't judge and condemn as if we are somehow better or more deserving of his mercy than others, but recognize how desperately we need it first and foremost, and striving to forgive as we have been forgiven, and to give as we have received. Thus our Lord and teacher, Jesus Christ, puts these commands before us not as conditions we must meet to merit eternal salvation and entrance into heaven, but to teach us how to live as his disciples who have been saved and whose entrance into heaven has already been secured. Our salvation is finished. Jesus said so on the cross. And because that is so, dear friends in Christ, we are free to live as people loved by God, forgiven by the sacrifice of the Son, to live not for self, but for God and others. That's who we are as Christians. And when we fail, and we will, and we do, we repent. We come pleading to our Lord for mercy, knowing that our Savior never failed, knowing that he loved us to the end, knowing that from the cross that we, with our sins, placed him upon, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then, having received that mercy, empowered once again by the gospel, we go out there and strive to live as his disciples again. We must never stop striving to show others the love and mercy we have been shown. That's how we live and breathe as Christians. May the Holy Spirit empower us to do so, not for our sakes, but for the sake of others, that they may receive the same undeserved favor we have received and be brought into the eternal life into which we have been brought. For good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, has been put into our laps. And we desire that others receive the same. May it be our prayer now and always, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Grant this unto us all, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, You gave your Son that we might share in his divine life. Help your baptized people to live in mercy and forgiveness toward all, and strengthen all pastors and servants of the church in their proclamation of your saving gospel, and the people you bring into your fold to hear it and rightly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Ruler of the nations, you hold in your hand all the might of man. Look in kindness on our nation. Grant all our public servants wisdom, courage, and integrity, and keep under your protection all who serve in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Shaw, and Justin Wyborn. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Stronghold for the oppressed, remember all those who go through difficult times, the unemployed, those with troubled marriages and difficult family lives, those who suffer addictions, those who have been hurt deeply. Bring to each aching heart the comfort you alone can give. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver your servants who cry out for your healing touch, for your peace, and for your comfort, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Call, Albert Call, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Song, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, and the family of Pastor Clement Preuss, who was called home to heaven this past Wednesday. Lord, in your mercy. Bountiful King of heaven, as we gather at the feast your Son has prepared to celebrate his victory over sin and death, grant us repentant faith, that we may receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, for a share in his divine life, and for our everlasting salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Join our prayers and praises with those of your servants of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, until he returns in power and great glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross, and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Christ. Shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
Yeah.